wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time for Abandoned Manitoba, a new parlor game. Has been created, I think. Perhaps Gordon Goldsborough is here to tell us more. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia. Yes, indeed, a game, and I'm hoping our listeners will want to play it.
So what are we talking about this week?
Several years ago, I listened to a history podcast in which they linked historical figures to one particular person in fewer than six intermediary steps. It basically riffed on the idea of 6 degrees of separation. You know, that's where it said that any two individuals on Earth can be connected by six people between them. I thought it was such a neat idea, and I've been waiting for an opportunity to try it here in Manitoba. So that's our theme today, 6 degrees of Louis Riel to connect memorable Manitobans to the founder of our province.
And last week, you asked listeners to make suggestions on who to connect to Louis Riel. Did you receive any?
Oh, yeah, I had quite a few suggestions. Some of them immediately resonated, and some were like, who? But we don't nearly have enough time to do them all. So we're going to try to do some of them today, and then I'll hold a few others to future episodes of Abandoned Manitoba. But I think I need to make a few things clear about what we're trying to do. This is not a genealogical exercise. We're not trying to show that Louis Riel was related by blood to our target person. What we're trying to show are the interconnections that exist between people.
And so what do you mean by interconnections?
Well, I'll try to explain by way of an example. Listener Cheryl Clark suggested that we try to link Louis Riel with Cuthbert Grant, an early Métis leader here in Manitoba who had a grain mill that's been recreated today as Grant's Old Mill here in Winnipeg on Sturgeon Creek. The problem is that Riel was 10 years old when Grant died. So, well, it seems to me unlikely that they would have had any meaningful dialogue with each other. However, there was an indirect connection between the men. During the fur trade era here, the Red River Settlement had a sort of a quasi-governmental body called the Council of Assiniboia. Now, a member of that council was a farmer and a magistrate named Robert Macbeth. He served on the council from 1853 to 1870, and he overlapped on it for 1 year with Cuthbert Grant. So, you know, I assume, therefore, since they were on this council together, they knew each other. During the events of 1869, 1870, when Louis Riel came to prominence, he was opposed by a local merchant named John Schultz. They really didn't like each other. And in December of 1869, Schultz was imprisoned in Upper Fort Garry. He did, however, escape, and he spent the night in the home of none other than Robert Macbeth, suggesting that they were at least, you know, slightly acquainted. You wouldn't just let anybody just come into your house and sleep for the night. So there we have our interconnection. We go from Métis leader Cuthbert Grant to magistrate Robert Macbeth to merchant John Schultz to Louis Riel in 2 degrees of separation. Macbeth and Schultz.
Okay, so how about another listener suggestion?
Barry Matenko asked me to connect Louis Riel with Frank Ness, for whom Ness Avenue here in Winnipeg is named. Now, Ness had a farm along the Assiniboine River in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, but I think where he really became prominent is he served as the secretary treasurer for the rural municipality of Assiniboia. You know, the westernmost part of Winnipeg today, and he was that position for 48 years, from 1886 to his death in 1934.
Can you connect Mr. Ness to Louis Riel?
Oh, yes, I can. So one of the reeves for the rural municipality of Assiniboia, under whom Mr. Ness would have served as secretary treasurer, was John Taylor, for whom John Taylor Collegiate here in Winnipeg is named. Now, Mr. Taylor was a farmer who, in the late 1870s, served as an MLA for the constituency of Headingley. But before that, he was a representative for Headingley in something called the Convention of 40. That was a meeting held in January and February of 1870 to draw up a list of rights to be presented to the Canadian government as the entry of Manitoba into Confederation was being negotiated. Now, another of the representatives at that convention was none other than Louis Riel, representing St. Vitel. So this time, our interconnections is municipal official Frank Ness to MLA John Taylor to Louis Riel. 1 degree of separation.
Are these interconnections difficult to find?
You know, they really can be. It takes creative thought on how one person might be connected to another via intermediaries. To do the research for 6 degrees of Louis Riel, I relied heavily on the Manitoba Historical Society's Memorable Manitobans database of over 13,000 noteworthy Manitobans of the past. Each biography typically has several cross-references to other people, other organizations, businesses with whom that person has been involved, and a whole lot more. You know, so if, for example, a person was ever an MLA, we have an entry for them in Memorable Manitobans, and it provides a cross-reference to that specific assembly or assemblies, plural, where that person was an MLA. So we provide a list of all the other people that they served with in the legislature. You know, and even if an MLA was, you know, maybe the opposite political party, their views politically were completely different to another member of the assembly, I have to believe they were still acquainted, even if they didn't like each other very much. So there's a connection. But another useful piece of information that one finds in some of the Memorable Manitobans biographies comes from the fact that in the 1950s and 60s, it was a very common practice to list in obituaries the names of something called honorary pallbearers. Now, of course, a pallbearer is who carries the casket at a funeral, but an honorary pallbearer is somebody, you know, who's just given the honor of, you know, probably being a close friend or an acquaintance of the deceased. Well, they would list these names in an obituary, and that's really useful because it gives me the names of, say, a lot of their acquaintances. And as I lamented a few weeks ago here, the declining length and quality of obituaries in the past few decades has really, you know, compromised our ability to make connections through things like the names of honorary pallbearers and other useful biographical details.
Now, I think we have time for one more connection to Louis Riel.
Our third example comes from a person who I think will be familiar to many of our listeners, CBC host Lori Hoogstraten. She suggested that I try to connect Riel to her husband's great-grandfather, a fellow named Edwin Stevenson, who died in 1948, and for whom Stevenson Point on the west shore of Lake Winnipeg is named. Now, that name might not be familiar to a lot of Manitobans, but I think he's definitely somebody who should be remembered.
How so?
Well, he was born in 1857, and he joined the Federal Civil Service here in Winnipeg in 1881. He spent 45 years as something called the Chief Inspector of Crown Lands and Timber, and his territory extended all the way from Western Ontario to the Pacific Coast, in other words, to BC, and north from the U.S. border all the way to present-day Yukon, a vast territory. And in that capacity, he helped to select the sites of the national parks in Western Canada, and in particular, he assisted in the survey of Riding Mountain National Park here in Manitoba. Now, making a connection to Mr. Stevenson to Louis Riel was tough, but I did succeed. So here it is. His daughter, Geraldine, married a son of Winnipeg businessman Manlius Bull. Now, among his many business activities, Mr. Bull was a director of the Great West Life Assurance Company, today's Canada Life. One of the company's other directors was hardware merchant James Ashdown. In 1873, Ashdown was one of the founders of the Winnipeg Board of Trade, which is today's Chamber of Commerce, and another one of the founders was Andrew Bannatyne, namesake for Bannatyne Avenue. Bannatyne was a member of Louis Riel's provisional government of 1870, so there we have it. We go from Edwin Stevenson to Manlius Bull to James Ashdown to Andrew Bannatyne to Louis Riel. 3 degrees of separation. And I tried my best to get it down to 2 degrees, but try as I might, I just couldn't do it. But still, 3 degrees, pretty good.
Still a long way from 6 degrees, so not bad.
Yes, indeed. And proof that Manitobans are all closely connected to each other. And that's all we have time for now. But, you know, if listeners are interested in the concept of 6 degrees of Louis Riel, you know, they try it for themselves. Hey, make it a game. Use the Memorable Manitobans section of the MHS website. You can get to it easily by going to mhs.ca/people. You know, you can see how you can link any two people using the fewest number of intermediary steps, and the one who gets the fewest number of steps wins. And not only will you have fun, and I had a great time doing this, you'll get a deeper appreciation for Manitoba history and the many ways that Manitobans of the past interacted in daily life.
Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, we're going to delve into politics. The recent talk about Canada joining the United States has led me to consider just how Manitoba might change if it became a U.S. state. Now, one way in which we differ is that, like all Canadian provinces, Manitoba's Legislative Assembly is unicameral. On the other hand, every U.S. state except one is bicameral. Now, if you don't know what that is, we'll explain it next week. But the interesting part is that Manitoba used to be a bicameral legislature. And so next week, I'm going to talk about our short-lived upper chamber, the Legislative Council of Manitoba.
Looking forward to that one. Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.